own ticket to hell. Let's stand, if you would. We'll read a few verses of scripture and we'll get started. In the book of Jonah, chapter number 1 and verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice this, from the presence of the Lord. And then chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. He cried, and thou hearest my voice. Now notice something that he called this belly of the fish, he called it hell. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and mercy and your grace and your goodness. And we're asking, God, that you move in a special and a glorious way this morning. Help us, God, that we can yield our hearts and minds to you. Bless everyone that's here, and help us, Lord, that we can and will continue to gain knowledge and learn more about you and your goodness. And help us, Lord, to never surrender ourselves to the world, but God, that we will press on to your coming. And we know your coming is very soon. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, the title of this message is Buying Your Own Ticket to Hell. Nobody really wants to go to hell. Can you say amen to that? Its very name conveys the idea of dread and also of punishment. Only 3% of the people think that they are going to hell. It certainly wouldn't be the one of the people who want to go on vacation to a place called hell. So why would a man buy a ticket to this horrible place? What kind of transportation could they take? Or then what kind of currency or money could they purchase a ticket to buy this place of weeping and misery? As strange as it sounds, one man in the scripture did buy his ticket to hell. And we read it to you there just a few minutes ago, and that's what he called it. And I'd say he really felt like it was that place for sure. It's very possible that some of you here today are in the process of buying your own ticket there. So stop. Don't buy that ticket. You say, how could I buy my own ticket to hell? So here's five ways in how we can be buying our ticket to hell. One is lack of concern toward God. People ignore God. They're not concerned. They just take life as ease and like everything's going to continue like it is today. Folks, it's not going to continue like it is today. So get ready. Things are getting ready to take place even more so as we see Jesus approaching. See, God deserves our best efforts. You say, is a lack of concern about God a sin? I'm asking you that question. Is lack of concern about God a sin? Lack of concern about many things will get you in the world of trouble. Can you say amen? One is your taxes. Just try not turning in your taxes and you're already in trouble. Can you say amen? Then there's your job. Lack of concern about your job, you will get fired. You'll lose your job. So you need to understand that. And then driving a car. It's very dangerous to not pay attention to how you're driving. It's also important to pay attention to your walk with God. It seems like anymore we see more people getting rear-ended, as they call it, getting hit in the back of their car than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Almost every time you go to Richmond or Lexington or somewhere, if you don't see one car, most of the time you see two and sometimes four and five people that have gotten hit in the back end. People are not paying attention. They drive too close on the back of people, and they don't brake quick enough, or the road is too slick, and they don't pay attention, and this is what can get us in trouble. Notice what I said, us in trouble. So we need to understand this. We need to drive very, very careful and cautious and pay attention, and quit texting if you're doing it. Stop texting with your phone and you're going. If you have to text, pull over to the side of the road, put your blinkers on if you're on a highway with a lot of traffic, and then go ahead and text. Then turn your signal back on, you're signaling you're coming back, and continue on your way. It is too dangerous. You can't take a chance. You glance up just for a minute, and you're in trouble. Can you say amen? Jonah had been told to go to the Ninevites for God. Jonah didn't want to go. So he tried to run away from God's job. It was for him, and it ended up in hell, or the belly of a fish. Now notice this, you say the belly of fish isn't hell. Have you ever smelt rotten fish? Yeah. Jonah thought it smells bad enough, it's not rotten sometimes. Jonah thought this fish's belly was as close to hell as he wanted to get. Is God low on our priority list? Is there little or no concern about prayer, about church attendance, about tithing, and about reading of the Bible? Many people tack on God only when they need him the worst. Long as everything's going smooth, why fool with God? You don't have time for God. You don't have time to read the word. You don't have time to do this, that, and something else. You don't have time. So then when you get in trouble, then you tack on God and you call out, "Hey, God, it's me. I need your help. I'm sick, or I'm in trouble, or I got this financial burden and all this." But you forget sometimes where your priority is. Many Christians are not doing their best. God deserves our best. Can you say amen to that, or oh me? He gave his best for us, and it's only right that we should give our best for him. Let me give you an illustration I thought was kind of cute, but it really makes sense. A young brother and his sister were playing Noah and the Ark. An old shoebox was their ark. The bathtub was their flood. After the flood was over, they decided to make an offering to God. Noah, the boy, said to Miss Noah, the girl, "Here, take one of your toy animals as a sacrifice." "No," she replied, "let us use one of your animals instead." When they couldn't agree, the little girl ran up into the attic. In a moment, she was back with a toy lamb. It was dirty, its head smashed, its tail was missing. "Here," she said, "let us give this as a sacrifice. We don't want it anymore." Notice what she said, "We don't want it anymore. Let's give it to God." Her brother agreed, and they made their sacrifice. The little broken lamb they didn't want was what they were given to God. God told the Israelites through the prophet Malachi that he didn't want their leftovers. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lambs or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to the governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, saith Almighty God? No, I don't think he'd be pleased, do you? And we need to understand about giving God our best. We need to give God our very, very best. It's amazing. It's amazing how that sometimes we want to give God our leftovers rather than give God our first fruits. He wants our best, folks. Let's just say, for instance, you have somebody come and you saw that they were in desperate need of clothing. Use this for an example. Okay, you go to your closet and you look and you got that pretty dress that you might have wore one time. You may not even wore it. You have a ticket right on it, price tag, and you've never wore it. And then you have this one over here you wore so many times it's getting fady. Or a man's shirt, vice versa. Which one would you give that needy person your leftover, the one that you don't want, or would you give that very best as given unto God? Now, this is just a little illustration, but I want to tell you, folks, we need to give our very best. Wouldn't it be something if you came out and I've got a garden full of ripe tomatoes and I go through and I pick all the big ones out and I keep them and I say, hey, I got a few left over here. They got a few rotten spots. We can cut them out. They'll be all right. And just give them to them. See, we need to give as unto God. We need to give our best. Would you want a rotten tomato? I think not, right? Just a little illustration. So we need to understand something. Hey, this little old broken lamb they gave. But now here God's talking about. So number two is accepting others' opinion instead of getting your own experience. The blind man, Jesus healed. In John chapter 9, there was a blind man who was healed by Jesus. The man was questioned by the Pharisees about his healing. The Jewish leaders could have gone to Jesus themselves, but they didn't want to humble themselves and take the time to seek after Jesus. And besides, they didn't want to talk to Jesus. They wanted to blame Jesus. So they asked the man how that Jesus had opened his eyes and where Jesus might be, and who he thought Jesus was, a prophet, or try to get the man to discredit Jesus. Instead, the man told him that Jesus was from God and had performed a miracle. So guess what they did to him? They threw him out. A blind man had been healed and they threw him out because he wouldn't side in with them and talk about Jesus. You may get thrown out of your job or thrown out of somewhere because you won't side in with people. But listen to me, folks. If that's the only kind of people you're running with, you don't need them. Can you say amen? Get away from them. So we need to understand this. Mistaken. Sometimes we can be mistaken about people, but one man looked upon the Savior with spiritual eyes because his heart was hungry for God. Others went away empty because they didn't have even their mind opened up. They were hard, trying to blame all the time. Mistakes. Mistaken notions of God's requirement. You see, there's going to be a lot of surprised people at the judgment seat of Christ if they're not careful. You see, people will say, but Lord, there must be some mistake. Listen to me. Some may say, I was a good parent to my kids. I taught Sunday school. I paid my tithe. I was a good citizen. I went to prayer meetings. I was a regular member of the church. Surely there's a mistake. I must be one that's on this list. You mean I'm not approved? Hear me, church. But the Lord will answer, but the one thing that really matters, you didn't do, and that is, it's all about relationship. You never tried to get to know me. I don't know who you are. Go your way from the presence of the Lord. You see, people are talking about how they know the Lord, but do you truly know him, and are you having a true relationship with him? The key knowing Christ is Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in your name drive out devils or demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Or I don't even know you. Why? Why didn't he know him? So we need to draw near God, study about Jesus in the Bible, spend time with him, but be still sometimes and know that I am God. We need to be still sometimes and feel after him in prayer. We're serving a good God, folks, but people are ignoring him. And then number three is a picture of commitment. After World War II, millions of men returned to the United States, got married, and got a job, and kept the same woman and job that they got. They bought houses on 30-year mortgages, and they worked until they paid them off. The wife and husband worked together to make this possible. Many people don't want to make any kind of commitment. They change jobs every 2 or 3 years or even less. They rather lease a house or a car than to buy them. And living together because they don't want the commitment to get married. Am I telling the truth? This same spirit of unwillingness to commit, and people in relationship with God, they're not wanting to commit. But Jesus demands a total, permanent commitment to him. Whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24 talks about God wants a once and for all commitment to Jesus. How long will you waver? You see, the people in Elijah's day they had trouble with commitment. Elijah said to them, how long will you waver or be between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They held their peace. They didn't say a thing. If you waver, if you don't make a commitment, you're in trouble, folks, whether you believe it or not. You see, the Israelites at that time had practiced at times that they repented. They had times that they repented and they worshiped the Lord. But other times they went back to their same old pagan gods. It's kind of like Christians who serve the Lord when they feel like it, but at other times they indulge in the flesh in some sin. God says to us, enough of that. You belong to me. If you belong to God, I think you ought to be committed. Do you? The law of revival has never changed. What is hindering revival is in your life. What's hindering? The hindrance is not on God's side, but on our side. God is always ready to bring revival. When the conditions are right, revival will come. Let's get things right. We need a revival. Not amen in the house. It's wintertime. You can have a revival in wintertime. It's cold, yeah? Might even have some snow, but that's when you can have the best revival. A lot of times people will commit themselves to get out of the house thinking you're arrived. You have arrived. We all need improvement. Can we confess we all need improvement? Don't we? Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? If you begin to walk in the Holy Spirit, it's regeneration, the only way you can keep it going is by continuing in the Spirit. We're saved by grace, but we're not finished being made perfect yet. It's a process of sanctification. We all need improvement. We've agreed on that, haven't we? If Paul said that his inward burned, if James said we all stumble in many ways, if Peter said we all stray from the shepherd of our souls, if Job regularly repented and Daniel too, how could you think that you don't need to repent? We all need a closer walk with God, and we haven't arrived yet, folks. We haven't made it to heaven yet, so we must strive for perfection. That means to be better, to be perfect. And you say, how can you be perfect? Nobody's perfect. No, Jesus was, but we're to strive. He left us a great example, did he not? Disobedience, like Jonah, expose yourself to God's light. Jonah had a word from God. Notice this. Jonah had a word from God about something that he was supposed to do. He was given an assignment from God, but he didn't want to do it. He kept evading God's searchlight and his conviction. We may not get on a ship like Jonah. We may not try to run away from the presence of God. But when we don't want to listen to what God is saying, we ignore the dealings of the Holy Spirit, we are getting ourselves in trouble. How scary would it be for you to take down the walls, pull off your mask, and say with David, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's found in Psalms 23 and 24 in the New King James Version. When David finally came clean from his sin with Bathsheba, and that's found in Psalms 51, and he acknowledged, behold, your desired truth in the inward parts. God wants us to come clean. He wants us to come honest to him. If you're doing things you ought not do and you know it and God knows it, but you need to confess it, can you say amen? David thought he was getting by with some things, but he got caught in his own trap. Even though it cost him a whole lot of tears and a lot of pain, and the sword came upon his house from his family from that day forward. And it was a terrible, terrible thing that he did. He had a guy killed for his wife. And in the place of repentance, Paul said, now I'm happy because your sorrow leads you to repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation. Come to the music, please. We all stumble in many ways. Can you say amen to that? We all need to repent and return to the shepherd of our salvation. Can you say amen to that? We're going to do that to the very best of our ability before we go home, right? Amen. We need to do it. Confession. We need to confess. Who am I trying to fool? Folks, you can put on the holiest looking suit of clothes. You can dress yourself up and look like one of the finest Christians that ever walked down the streets of Ravenna and Irvine. But unless you have that blood applied to your heart, unless you have totally committed to God, you're still in trouble. Every day, just keep putting on Christ. Every day, We need to grow to look more like him every single day. How many of you have something you need to come clean from? How many want to have an experience of your own? How many want to make a firm commitment and start out with a clean slate, and let God help us? How many want to quit running from the presence of God? You thinking, hey, I don't need to this. I don't want to commit to anything. I want to do my own thing whenever I want to in all of this. When there's something to be done, how many of you run like Jonah? Get you a ticket and go the other direction. You see, he got a ticket that led him into a terrible place. God told him to go over to the Ninevites and preach to them. He hated them. He didn't like them. He didn't want to do it. He knew if he preached to them repentance, they would repent. And he didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to all die and go to hell. Seriously, that's what he wanted. They were evil people. I heard a preacher say one time, I hate that. I just hate people like that. Well, good Lord, don't you think he ought to repent? He's no different than nobody else. We're all equal in the eyes of God. We all make mistakes. We've already confessed to that this morning. But we need to stay true to God and allow God to help us like we want somebody to help us. Hey, we need to repent and let God help us. Let's stand all over the building, would you please? Listen to me. If you want to quit running from the presence of God, it's time to come. Stop buying that ticket to hell. You say, how am I buying a ticket to hell? If you're disobeying God, you're rejecting God, you're running from God, you're doing just exactly like Jonah. You see, the difference is God prepared a big fish for Jonah. And these mariners, they threw him overboard and the fish swallowed him up. He was in the belly of hell for 3 days. He was in the fish's belly. But he prayed and God brought him out. There's a difference in the fish's belly, hell that he's talking about, and the eternal hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Once you go there, there's no getting out. It's too late for repentance. You know why? You have rejected the blood of Jesus and his forgiveness by turning your back on him. There's no way of return. Once you get there, you're doomed. You're there. No getting out. So don't go there. Don't buy a ticket. Come on, let's come clean. You see, what I'm offering you today is free. It don't cost you one little red cent, as he used to call it. It is free. It costs Jesus his life, but it is free. He gives it freely. And here it is today for you. The altar's open this morning, and I think it'd be great if you just step out and come up this morning and give your heart to the Lord if you're not. And if you've been doing things and hadn't committed to him, it'd be a good time to come. And not only if you've done all of that, if you're running from the presence of God because God has called you into some kind of job and you don't want to do it, come on, the altar's open. Come on, take some time this morning.
Taking over, send her man and make him clean. It was shed one day at Calvary by the precious King of Glory, so I'd be free when washed beneath the flow. There is no other way. There is no other way. white as the snow. There is no other way to lay down the load you carry until the blood has been applied to your soul. Jesus prayed in the garden to the Father in heaven. Oh, let this bitter cup, let it pass from me. But he saw down through the ages how the sin of man rages. So he carried the rugged cross to Calvary. There is no other way. There is no other way to be washed white as the snow. There is no other way to lay down the load you carry until the blood has been applied to your soul.
Jesus is alive, alive forevermore, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Forevermore, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive, 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 alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore, alive, alive. Alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive.
God is still the healer, is he not? Amen. All right. Sister Gordon, I'm going to be back there to shake your hand. All the pastor's council, meet me up here if you would. And we'll get this taken care of. And you can run along and grab you something to eat. We Christians love to eat, don't we? I think non-Christians kind of like that too, don't they? Yes. Let's stand if everybody's finished.